And I don't think that it's unique with God. I think it's unique with us. I think there are things that we have begun to do that have lifted a restriction of the river of God that flows from the throne. There are things that we have begun to implement and to begin to do. And one of the things that I have seen in the last year that we have begun to implement is the focus really on the Word of God. The emphasis, you know, we have been talking about our life journals. I want to encourage you, church, if you have not begun to do this, you need to stop by guest services and get one of these and begin to journal. Do you know that the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God? There is a direct proportion as the faith grows within you, the time that you are spending in God's Word and devouring the Word of God. If you are not in God's Word, your faith is not going to grow. And I think because we have begun to emphasize the importance of the Word of God and actually do things. Do you know how important it is to get into the Word? This fall, we're going to begin to do life labs on Wednesday evenings. Do you know how important it is to gather together and to study God's Word as a body, but also individually? You need to be reflecting upon, because it causes the faith of God to rise up. When the faith of God begins to rise up, and then you couple that, you know, in the last few weeks, we have started a series on vital signs. It's on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, okay, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. When you begin to focus on the Spirit of God is the power, the creative power of God that created the universe. When you take that kind of power and you couple it with your faith, miraculous things are going to happen. Do you understand that, church? Miraculous things will happen. I was reading this morning as I was reflecting on the service, and in the last book of the Bible, in the last chapter of the Bible, the first two verses of Revelation 22, it says, "And he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its streets and on either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." There is healing that flows from the throne room of God. Okay, this river is flowing. There is a prophetic word that came. You know, in history, there have been times where there have been like waves of the Holy Spirit, where miraculous things have come, okay? Or there's a spring that kind of pops up every so often. But the prophetic word that was given was, this is a river that is flowing. This, Koinonia, is your calling. This, Koinonia, is your destiny. This is what you need to step into. It is not going to ebb and flow. Last week, Pastor Tim talked about what he had seen, and we are a boat that's on this river. This is where God is taking us. This is not something that's going to ebb and flow. If you focus on the Word of God and your faith rises and you look at the Spirit of God and you couple these together, we are not going to have an ebb and flow. This thing is just going to take off, and many people are going to be set free from bondages. There are going to be miraculous healings as we do this. Do you understand that, church? Now, I want you to know that it doesn't just happen in these four walls. You know, we have these cards that we're giving out, and I think it's important. And there's something unique that does happen when the body of Christ does get together. But I want you to know the Spirit of God is not limited to these walls right here. Okay, when you begin to focus on the Word of God and your faith begins to rise up, and then you couple that with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit and the power of God, there are things that are going to happen in the marketplace. Okay, there are miraculous things that are going to happen at work. Okay, you don't have to just pray for people here. You can do things at work. Donnie shared with me just a few days ago about a miraculous thing that had happened at work. And so I asked if she would just share that this morning. So Donnie, would you share that?
You know, the Lord Jesus is all about the marketplace. If you look in the Gospels, most of the healings and deliverances that he did happened out in the marketplace. They didn't happen where his little group was just together and they were just praying and loving each other together. But it was out in the marketplace with the people that he met, and he made himself available. So Jesus is marketplace focused. Mm-hmm. And what does that mean for us? If we are Christians, we're the ones to be following in his footsteps. And we talked about the river. You know, the river is the Lord. He is the river. And in that river are all his attributes, his healing power, his life, his strength, his peace, his joy. But he calls us to be in that river. But you know what? If we're in that river and we go to work, where does that river go? We don't go, okay, I'm going to work now. Let me dam that river up. That would be a shame. But he's calling us to be tributaries. And you know that water that goes with us as we are tributaries going into the workplace is not our own flesh and blood, but it's the Spirit of the Lord flowing through. So if it flows here and there are needs being met here, there are many needs in our workplace. Everywhere you go, if it's school, if it's work. At work, about 2.5 months ago, I have a gal that I work with. I come up with these ideas, and she makes them happen. We're a great team. She knows how to make things happen, takes my crazy ideas and brings them to life. And I'm the idea person. But she began to share, express kind of a concern with me. She says, you know, I'm gaining weight in a funny way. It just doesn't seem right. My family doesn't gain weight down here in the abdomen. They just kind of gain it all over. And she says, I'm a little concerned. I said, well, she was going to go to her doctor. And I said, well, just talk to your doctor about it. And she did. And he says, well, let's do some x-rays. Now, you see, when she was 20, she's about 40 now, she had bone cancer in her hip. And it was very grave. It's a miracle she's even alive. So it's a very much a concern. So they went in and took x-rays, and sure enough, there was a football-shaped tumor in her abdomen that was huge, huge. And they immediately said, well, we're going to have to do surgery. And they were very concerned because of her cancer history. Well, we went in the day before she had surgery, and we actually went into the hospital, and we laid hands on her. And we spoke to the cancer, and we said, be gone. Be gone. This is a child of the Most High God. We spoke, and we said, be gone to the cancer. And guess what happened? They went in, they took the tumor out, they very quickly tested it, and they were just astounded. Not an ounce of cancer. Just a big old mass. Right in the same area where she'd had that grave cancer before, there was no cancer. And then, right on the heels of that, another member of our office staff had gone in and had one of those treadmill tests where they shoot the dye through you and are watching, and saw that one of her main arteries looked totally blocked. There was no blood going anywhere from it. And that was a concern, because, I mean, they don't even know how. And so it was very grave. So they took her in and were going to put, they were going to see what they could do, if they could unblock it. There was no question it was blocked. Well, we went in and prayed for her at the hospital the day she went in. They didn't know if they were going to just be able to put a stent or whether they were going to have to do a bypass surgery. They didn't know what they were going to find, but they knew there was blockage. We just spoke. We didn't say to the blockage, dissipate, but the Lord instructed us to speak that the blockage would just be transported out, gone, in Jesus' name, because she was the Lord's. We prayed that way. Well, the doctors went in, and they went up with a little scope and everything. No blockage. No blockage. They just were astounded. There's no blockage. And she was able to say, well, the team of people at work, they prayed for me, and we believe in a living God, and he's able to take it away.
Yes, hallelujah.
So I just want to encourage you. It's great. It's wonderful. Receive all you can from the Lord. Be in the river. But you know what? The Lord wants us to take that river into the workplace. He wants us to splash it all over everybody there, because he wants them to know the true and living God and all that he has for them. Thank you.
Thanks, Donnie. Do you know there are miraculous, miraculous things that will go before us and will follow after us? The Bible says signs and wonders are going to follow those miraculous things. But you know what will keep that from happening in your life? Fear. Fear of looking foolish. Fear of, well, what if I step out here and it doesn't happen? That fear, okay, we'll prevent that, we'll restrict that move that God wants to do in our lives and in the marketplace. I was reading, and there are two major sources of fear that people report. The first one is the fear of public speaking. Do you know that's the number one fear that people have, of getting up front? Well, let me put you at ease this morning, okay? I'm not going to ask any of you to get up here and do some public speaking, okay? So you can put that fear behind you, okay? The second fear that people have is the fear of death. They're afraid of dying. So somebody sent me an email on the top five sources of death. So I thought maybe I would read this to you so that we could, you know, speak to that fear there. It says, avoid riding in automobiles because they are responsible for 20% of all fatal accidents. So don't ride in automobiles. Don't stay home because 17% of all accidents occur while you're at home. Avoid walking on streets or sidewalks because 14% of all accidents occur to pedestrians. Avoid traveling by air, rail, or water because 16% of all accidents involve these forms of transportation. Of the remaining 33%, 32% of all deaths occur in hospitals. Above all else, avoid hospitals. You'll be pleased to learn that only 0.001% of all deaths occur in worship services in church. And of those are usually related to previously physical disorders. Therefore, logic tells us that the safest place for you to be at any given point in time is in church. Bible study is safe too. The percentage of deaths during Bible study is even less. For safety's sake, attend church and read your Bible. It could save your life. Fear grips us and keeps us from stepping out and believing for what God wants to do to us and through us. We've been focusing on the Spirit, and a couple of weeks ago I prepared a message on the fruit of the Spirit and the one aspect of peace. Do you know that you can tell by the fruit that's manifest in a person's life where their focus is? What they're tapped into. You can tell by the fruit, okay? If you are focused on the Spirit of God, the dynamic power of God, it says you're going to get love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. You're going to see those things. That's the fruit that comes out of you when you are focused on the Spirit of God. Galatians 5:16 and 17 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please." So if you focus on the Spirit, you're going to get these things. But it says, if you focus on the flesh, it's going to be in opposition to the Spirit of God. If you focus on what's happening in your world around you, if you get focused on that, there's fruit that's going to be evident in your life. It's also in Galatians as well. Galatians 5:19 through 21. Now I'm reading from New American Standard. I think maybe the passage that's on the overhead is in NIV. So it'll be closely, but I'm reading out of New American Standard. It says, "Now the deeds of the flesh," or the fruit of the flesh, when you are focused on the world, when you're focused on the flesh, it says, "The deeds are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, and sorcery." Okay? Now, those are biggies. Okay? Some of you are sitting here, "Wow, man, I haven't given into those, so I guess my mind is focused on the Spirit of God because I haven't gone out and committed adultery or been in sorcery or anything like that." Some of you here have. You cannot be involved in an adulterous situation and have your mind focused on the Spirit of God. It is impossible. Do you understand me, church? There is fruit that follows. You can tell where a person's focus is by what they are doing, the fruit in their life. So we get over those biggies and we think, man, okay, I made it by that. But look a little further. It says some of the fruit of focusing on the flesh is enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes. I wonder if we were honest this morning, how many of you would say, "Man, that happened this morning. Before I even came to church, that was going on." How many of you here can tell me that you never get angry? Okay, that you don't have that disputes that go on. Okay, you that is fruit that follows when you focus on what's happening in your world. "Well, my wife just isn't doing what I expect her to do, and so I got every right to be upset." Where is your focus on your spouse? Your focus is in the wrong place. You can tell by the fruit in a person's life where their focus is. If you are focused on things above, you're going to see the fruit. It says you're going to see dissensions and factions and envying and drunkenness and carousing. Do you know that you cannot be addicted to alcohol and drugs and really have your mind focused on the Spirit of God? You cannot do it. And things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I did not write that. I just copied that right out of God's word. Okay? Now, some of you are sitting, oh my God, Pastor Roger says I'm condemned to hell because I've done, it says, those who practice these things. Okay? All of us have times where we fall. And we have an advocate with the Holy God that says that Jesus died for those things. But those who continue to practice those things, I got every right to be upset and I'm going to stay focused on this and I don't care what anyone else says. It says, you better be careful. You better be careful. There is fruit that will follow where your focus is. Here's my exhortation to you, church. Where is your focus? What are you focused on? One of the fruits of focusing on the Spirit of God is peace. Peace. You know, in Scripture, in the New Testament, it talks about five different kinds of peace. I put those in your notes, so if you're following along, you can find those. Now, I didn't put the Greek spelling in there because it's been a long time since I took Koine Greek, and I probably wouldn't even be able to read it, so I just spelled it out phonetically for you. There are five types of peace. Four of those are not what the fruit of the Spirit is talking about. One of those is the fruit of the Spirit of peace, okay? So the first type of peace that the New Testament talks about is haisokazo, which means to refrain from meddlesomeness speech, sticking your nose in other people's business, to not do that, okay? To hold your tongue, to remain quiet, or, mom, close your kids' ears, to shut up. You are not supposed to say that. That word actually means that. Now, I was watching TV and I saw a commercial come on TV that depicts this. And so I asked the audiovisual team if they could pull that commercial up. Now, this is a Cheerios commercial. I'm not pushing Cheerios this morning, but it does make the point of this kind of peace. So why don't you take a look at this 30-second video. I got peace. How about you? That did go off earlier this morning. They were able to see that. How many of you have seen that Cheerios commercial where he has he goes in, his wife is pouring a box of this special Cheerios that's talks about it has less fat, and, you know, and he says, "Oh, are you trying to lose weight?" And she says, "Why? Does it look like I need to lose weight?" "No, I was just reading the box, and it says, you know, that there's all less fat." And she says, "Yeah, I'm enjoying the Cheerios. Do I need to lose weight?" He says, "No, I was just looking at this and reading the box, you know, and it says these things." Says these things. And she says, "I was just eating the Cheerios." And then she looks at him and she says, "What else does the box say, Steve?" He says, "The box says shut up." It's a perfect example of that. Sometimes you need to just shut up and stop sticking your nose in there, okay? That's the type of peace that it's talking about there. But this is not the peace that's mentioned in the fruit of the Spirit. An example of this is Luke 14:1-4. It says, "And it came about when he went into the house of one of the leaders of the Pharisees on the Sabbath to eat bread," talking about Jesus, "that they were watching him closely." You know, they're always trying to trip him up. They're always trying to find him doing something that isn't in keeping with what is where they're trying to catch him in something. "And there in front of him was a certain man suffering from dropsy." That's the retention of water, okay? He had swelling. Okay. "And Jesus answered and spoke to the lawyers and the Pharisees," who had constantly trying to trip him up and get him to say things that are contrary. And he says, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" And it says, they kept silent. They held their peace. They just shut up. "And he took hold of him and he healed him and he sent him on his way." It's the first type of peace that's mentioned in the New Testament, but this is not the peace of the Holy Spirit. Second type of peace is phimoo, which means to muzzle, to force silence. An example of this is in Mark 1, 23 through 25, and it says, "And just then there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, 'What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth?'" This is the man who's demon-possessed saying this. "Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." Okay, oftentimes when you are working with someone that has a demon within them, they will cry out and make all kinds of noise. In this instance, Jesus says, "Be quiet." And he is unable to speak. Those of you who are Star Trekkies, you know, this is maybe a lousy comparison, but the vision that went through my mind is when Darth Vader and the Admiral, he did something and he just went like with his fingers, and the Admiral was unable to talk. A forced muzzling is a type of peace. Be at peace. Be quiet. Okay? But we're not talking about that. That's not the peace of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. A third type of peace is the word sigao, which means to hush, to keep silent, or to hold your opinion to yourself. An example of this is in Acts 12, 16, and 17. Peter had been imprisoned, and it was a very serious thing because they were afraid that he was going to be put to death. And the church, it says, had gathered together, and they were praying for Peter's release. They're praying, "God, release him, release him." And there's an angel that visits Peter in the prison and opens the doors, drops the chains. Peter is able to go out. He goes to the house where the church is praying for him, knocks on the door. This girl comes to answer, and she sees it. She can't believe it's him. She closes the door in his face and goes and says, "Peter's out there." Peter's out there continuing to knock, and this is what it says. "But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door, they saw him and were amazed. But motioning to them with his hand, he said, 'Be at peace.'" Have you ever seen anyone do that? "Shh, shh, shh, shh. I don't want to hear it." Okay? "He described to them how the Lord had led him out of the prison, and he said, 'Report these things to James and the brethren.' He departed and went to another place." This is to hush, to keep silent, to hold your opinion to yourself. I asked Donnie if she would just share just a little bit about our situation, huh?
You know, I am a verbal processor. When things are going on in my life, I need to just talk about it, talk and talk. And somehow through that process, I can hear the Lord speaking to me, and I can know what I need to do or how I need to respond. And sometimes I just need to talk and get it off my chest, and then I can just release it. Well, you know, and Roger, I'll come home, and we're sitting down, and Roger's a marriage and family therapist. He wants to fix people, or he wants to help you fix yourself. And so what happens is, as I start to talk, he goes, "Well, you know what you could do, or you can do it." I'm like, "Just let me talk. That's all I need to do. I don't need you to give me any advice. I just need you to talk." And that's the kind of peace he's talking about. Sometimes you don't need to be saying all the things you need to do. You just need to be quiet and listen and let the Lord speak.
It's that, just be quiet, okay? Now, men, if your wife comes to you and says, "Does this outfit make me look fat?" Okay, you better be at peace, okay? You better keep your mouth shut, because that is a no-win situation, okay? You're going to get into trouble with that. But that's not the peace of the Holy Spirit. A fourth type of peace is the word seopao, which means involuntary stillness or the inability to speak. Muteness, a calmness. Okay? In Mark 4, you remember the story when Jesus was in the boat and they were out in the Sea of Galilee and a storm arose and the boat is going and the disciples are thinking, "We're going to die out here." And Jesus is asleep in the boat. They wake him up. "Don't you care that we're about to die?" And Jesus stands up and he says, "Peace, be still." And the water stops and the storm stops. This is the kind of peace that he's talking about here. It's a calmness. Do you remember the story, the last week of Jesus' life here on this earth, when he was making a triumphal entry into Jerusalem? And it says the crowds had all gathered and they're waving palm branches and putting their robes down and they're all saying, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name." There's a lot of racket going on, okay? And the Pharisees and the religious leaders said, "Hey, tell your disciples and your followers to be quiet, knock it off. Okay? And he says, some of the Pharisees in the multitude said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He's telling them, tell them to be quiet, to be at peace. And he answered and said, "I tell you, if these become silent or at peace, the rocks are going to cry out." But he's telling them, tell them to be quiet. There's an example of in Matthew 21, a blind man seeking healing from Jesus. He was yelling because he's blind. Okay, he can't get his way there. And they tell him to be quiet. Hold your tongue. Be at peace. But this is not the peace of the Holy Spirit. The fifth type of peace that's mentioned in Scripture is the type of peace that we find in Galatians. It's the word irene, which means to rest or inner quietness obtained by joining with another. In the first service, Tom Neal gave a word that I went up to him and I said, that was the word of the Lord. And he said, I really feel that what God wants to do this morning is he just wants to give you a hug. He just wants to hold you close to him. That is the peace of the Holy Spirit. It's the joining with God and the pulling in and the calmness and the quietness. And it's not dependent upon what's happening in your environment. Do you understand that, church? It has nothing to do with your environment. It's an inner place. All hell can be breaking loose in your world and you can have perfect peace. The Apostle Paul, he wrote a book on joy. Okay? He's pinning this book on joy. Do you know where he was when he wrote that book on joy? In prison. Okay? How many of the correctional officers do we have here? How many of the men in your prison sit down and write about joy? Okay? The joy of being there and the joy of the exuberance of the experience that they're... You don't do that. But Paul writes a book on joy. Well, how can you do that? Because he's not focused on his environment. He's focused on who he is in Christ Jesus and the Spirit of God that's residing within him. And there is a peace that passes all understanding. There is a gentleman in the early 1900s that had received word that his nieces had both died of diphtheria within a 24-hour period. Grief-stricken, hurting, unable to comfort his brother, he taps into the Holy Spirit and he writes a poem. And at the double funeral, this man took the poem out and he sang this hymn for the first time. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before Thee near to the heart of God. Do you know, I can't think of anything more difficult or hard to face than would be the death of a family member, the death of a child, or the death of close family members. But even in that, there is peace that is available. Peace that passes all understanding. I got to sing this third verse for you because I think this author tapped into the peace of the Holy Spirit. He says, there is a place of full release near to the heart of God, a place where all is joy and peace. Near to the heart of God, O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before Thee near to the heart of God. There is a peace that passes all understanding. You may be here today and have lost a loved one. Several people came up after the first service whose marriages had fallen apart, spouses that had just left. And the devastation and the hurt, the depth of the hurt. Let me tell you something. God, by His Holy Spirit, is not limited by that. But He offers a peace that passes all understanding. The issue, church, is where is your focus? If you focus on the loss, if you focus on how awful things are, if you focus in those realms, it's going to rob you of the peace of God. John 14, 27 says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Jesus says, "My peace I give to you." The world wants to give you a peace, but it is totally different than the peace of the Holy Spirit. No matter where you are or what you've gone through today, there is the healing peace of Almighty God. There is a balm of Gilead that can be given to you no matter what you've experienced. Let me tell you real quickly three ways that you can lose your peace. Three ways that you can lose your peace. The first way is worry. Worrying. Jesus is telling the parable of the sower and the seeds. Many of you know that. He says there's a sower who went out and he was sowing seeds, and some of the seed fell on hard ground, and some of the seed fell in rocky places, and some of the seed fell in the weeds, and some of the seed fell on good ground. The one section I want to look at is Matthew 13, 22. It says, "And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word." Ooh, church, do you hear what he's saying there? The seed is the word of God. We said earlier, one of the reasons why this is a divine, unique thing that's happening in our church is because we are focusing on the word. That is the seed that's planted. And it says, "And the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." Do you know that you can worry yourself into a place where you will choke out the peace of God? And there's a whole lot of things to worry about, huh? You guys are looking at the banking failures, the potentials, you know, Fannie Mae, oh my, and all of the banks that are wobbling right now and wondering whether they're going to be able to stay stable. Some of you have your HMOs and your IRAs and some of that stuff that's unstable. Boy, there's a lot to worry about right there, huh? Am I going to have my retirement? That you can get caught up in that and it'll rob you of the peace of God. How about the stock market insecurities? Man, you look day after day, it may climb 200 and drop 400 the next day, okay? Oh, I got money invested in that. How about all the home foreclosures, okay? California's leading the way in home foreclosures, okay? This is a scary time, especially if you own a home that you owe lots of money on. How about the gas prices? Don't you love paying $4 or $5 a gallon? Wondering, oh, man, have you gone to the store and see how much gas prices is affecting your grocery bill? Man, you can get caught up in the worries of that. How am I going to have... How about the war that's going on there? And how long are those men and women going to have to stay over there? Or how about the fires that have been... At one time, there were 2,000 fires in California alone. Or the floods in the Midwest, okay? You turn the news on, there are all kinds of things. You get your mind on that, and you will not have the peace of God. You hear that, church? If you focus on that, the issue is, where's your focus? 1 Peter 5, 7 and 8 says, "Cast all your anxiety, all your worries upon me. Give them to me because I care for you. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." So you know how he devours you? With worry. He'll get you caught up in worrying about the situation to your finances, your family, whatever, and he will eat you alive. With worry. Second way to lose your peace is with pride. Pride. Look at what I've done, okay? Everybody else is failing, but man, I made wise investments and I've got my act together. Do you know that Jesus said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a wealthy man to enter heaven? Why on earth would he say that? Because that wealth has a way of causing pride to swell up. And when you focus on your pride and what you can do, you'll take your eyes off of God and it's not long before you will fall. Pride goes before destruction, according to Proverbs 16:18, and a haughty spirit before a fall. 1 John 2:15 through 17 says, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, here's the things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away, and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God, the one who joins himself with God, the one who has the peace of the Holy Spirit, will abide forever. You hear it, church? Pride. Third thing is greed. Greed. Somebody sent me another email, and it's a story of a little boy. It says, little Bobby came into the kitchen where his mother was making dinner. His birthday was coming up, and he thought this would be a good time to tell his mother what he wanted. Mom, I want a bike for my birthday. Little Bobby was a bit of a troublemaker, and he had gotten into trouble at school and at home, and Bobby's mother asked him if he thought he deserved to get a bike for his birthday. Little Bobby said, of course I do. Bobby's mother, being a Christian woman, wanted Bobby to reflect on his behavior over the year. Go to your room, Bobby, and think about how you have behaved this past year. Then write a letter to God and tell him why you deserve a bike for your birthday. Little Bobby stomped up the stairs to his room and sat down to write a letter to God. Here's the first letter. Dear God, I have been a very good boy this year and I would like a bike for my birthday. I want a red one. Your friend, Bobby. Bobby knew that this wasn't true and he had not been a very good boy this year, so he tore the letter up and started over. Letter two. Dear God, I've been an okay boy this year. I still would really like a bike for my birthday, Bobby. Bobby knew he could not send this letter to God either, so Bobby tore it up and wrote a third. Dear God, I know I haven't been a good boy this year. I'm very sorry. I will be a good boy if you just send me a bike for my birthday, please. Thank you, Bobby. Bobby knew, even if it was true, this letter was not going to get him a bike. Now Bobby was very upset. He went downstairs and told his mom that he wanted to go to church. Bobby's mother thought her plan had worked, as Bobby looked very sad. Just be home in time for dinner, Bobby's mother told him. Bobby walked down the street to the church on the corner. Little Bobby went into the church and up to the altar. He looked around to see if anyone was there. Bobby bent down and picked up a statue of the Virgin Mary. He slipped the statue under his shirt and ran out of the church, down the street, into the house, and up to his room. He shut the door and sat down with a piece of paper and a pen and began to write his fourth letter to God. God, I got your mama. If you want to see her again, send the bike. It's amazing what greed will do, huh? And how it will affect us. Proverbs 1:19 says, so are the ways of everyone who gains by violence. The word violence there is greed. This is what will happen to those who gain by greed. It says, it takes away the life of its possessor. Do you know that your greed will rob you of your life? It will take your life. Ephesians 4:17 through 20 says, this I say, therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, and they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. I want to close with the portion of Scripture that I alluded to just a bit ago in Philippians 4, 6 and 7. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." This type of peace that's mentioned in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit, is when you join yourself with a holy God. There is a peace that the world is not going to understand. But church, if you stay focused on what is happening in your world, if your focus is there, he says, it's going to lead to your destruction. It'll lead to your downfall, staying focused on the world. Where is your focus today, church? I wonder how many this morning would say, "I have never had that peace that you're talking about. I've never really experienced that, but I so want to. It is available." Okay, we've talked about the unique happening that's going on in the church. I'm going to ask the prayer teams if they would come forward to the front here. And in a bit, we're going to ask you to come forward and to allow them to pray with you. There is a uniqueness of the Spirit that has been released in the house. There is mental, emotional, and physical healing that is available because it's a manifestation of the dynamic power of God. And we claim it upon the Word of God. You take the Word, put it with the Spirit of God, and miraculous things happen. It is available this morning to you. How many would say, "I haven't had that peace, but I want it"? These people would love to pray for you. Or maybe you are in a current situation, you are a Christian. You read your Bible. You spend time with the Holy Spirit. But there are circumstances that have robbed you. There's things going on in my life. My marriage is a mess. My business is having problems. I don't even know if I'm going to have a job or not. There are situations. The court is involved in your life. There are things going on in your life. And it has robbed you of your peace. Jesus says, "I want to give you a peace that passes all understanding." It is important that you make that choice. Remember, Scripture says faith without works is useless, though. You have to take a step of faith and engage your faith in order for that to be released. So you're going to have to come forward. I'm going to be a little more pointed. Fathers, if you are not daily reading your Word, you are robbing your family. If you are not reading the Bible daily, you are robbing your family of the move of the Holy Spirit in their life. So let me ask you real pointedly, honestly, how many of you this morning would tell me, "Daily, I read my Bible and seek God"? How many would raise their hands and say, "Daily, I read my Bible"? About 10% daily. This is the source of the peace. You've got to do this. Church, I cannot stress enough. Men, if you have been falling down in this realm, you need to come forward and ask for prayer. You need to come and make a step of, "I'm going to make a commitment that I am going to spend time in God's Word." Do you want the peace that passes understanding? This is the avenue. You got to spend time in God's Word, and you got to focus on who you are in Christ and the Spirit of God. Stay focused on the world. Just continue to neglect the Word of God, and it will be to your downfall. Moms, you know what they often do is worry, 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 worrying about their kids, worrying about the finances, worrying, worrying, worrying. That is not the fruit of the Spirit. That will rob you of the fruit of the Spirit. If you are one of those who worries constantly, you need to come forward and ask that these prayer teams would pray and join with you. And you've got to make that choice to surrender that, not focus on what's going on in the world, but stay focused on things above. Where are you at, church? What are you focusing on? I want to ask you now, if that applies to you, if the Spirit is prodding you this morning, I want you to come forward and begin to meet with these people on the prayer team. Let me tell you, the easy thing to do is to just sit in your chair until I give that final prayer of benediction and go. That's the easy thing to do. And it will keep you bound. It will keep you from experiencing the peace of God that passes all understanding. But I'm embarrassed. I've never gone up front. They might laugh at me. Nobody's going to think anything of that. This is between you and God and taking that step of faith. Father God, you now look and move by your Holy Spirit and move, Lord God. And where there is conviction, I pray that the heart of that person would take the step of faith and to come forward to identify this is an area that I need to surrender to God. And I'm going to make that commitment to not focus on the world, because I've heard that if I focus on that, I'm going to get death and destruction. And this day, I choose to focus on things above. I choose to focus on your Spirit, and I will receive the peace that passes all understanding. Father, I pray that your Spirit now would go and move across this auditorium, and that your people would sense that move and that conviction, and that they will make the choice to take that step. Let your Spirit go before us now. Father, I pray that you'll take the power, the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit. Church, take that to work with you. Begin to pray for people at work. Take that to your friends, okay? When you're socializing, take that power that God has available through you. And then as you begin to see these manifestations of God working in your life, because God wants to use you, you are a conduit. God wants to flow through you to this world. This world is hurting. This world is so in search of answers, and you have the answer. But will you be bold enough, or will you let the fear of what the world may think and what the world may say keep your mouth shut, which is right where Satan wants to keep you, with a closed mouth and an ineffective ministry. Father, we give this word to you and ask that you bear fruit now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. If you want prayer, do come forward for the prayer teams. They will be here.